Saw the lights go out, so I was like, oh, I don't know if that's it. All right. Well, good morning, everyone. How are you doing? All right, we're lively. This is good. Well, hey, my name is Tom. I'm a pastor locally here in Orlando at South Orlando Baptist Church. And I've been able to spend the weekend with many of my students and also some of the students from this church and even some of the other churches from the Central Florida area. And we've had a terrific weekend talking about how God renews our heart, our mind, our soul, and yes, even our strength, which we all certainly need, not just monthly, not just yearly. We need it daily. We need it hourly from our Lord. And what I want to do is open with a little bit of a funny illustration. Raise your hand if you've ever seen Everybody Loves Raymond. Anybody seen this? All right. Ray is always trying to do the right thing, isn't he? And then he always blunders. And his wife's like, oh, you poor man, all right? Well, I am very similar to Ray. You could maybe even call me Ray, all right? And an example of that is my wife and I were dating, and I had a terrible leg break. I showed some of the students the picture, but basically my foot went from midnight to 7 o'clock, all right? So it turned back pretty good. And so Carolina at the time, that's the name of my now wife, she was taking care of me. She would come by, she would give me food, stuff like that, because I couldn't really move, all right? I was just kind of bedridden for a while. And she would come by and help me out. And I remember I wanted to thank her. And so I thought, I know, I'll do an awesome date idea because I can't take her out. So I called in for some Four Rivers, which is always good. Gentlemen, if you're ever dating a girl, feed them. They'll like you back. All right, so I went ahead and I got her Four Rivers, and we were going to do a little bit of a game night. My wife and I, we love games. And I had this Monopoly, and it was National Parks Edition. And she loves nature and stuff like that. So I thought, I was planning on marrying this girl. This girl was planning on marrying this boy. And I thought, let's talk about places we might go one day. So when you land on the spot, you got to look up the national park. We actually even got to go to Yellowstone this past May. So we're having a great time, and we're having fun, and we're laughing. But then it gets to that point in that Monopoly game where someone has to get the Monopoly, all right? Someone's got to win this thing. And that is where I got distracted from my goal of loving my girlfriend at the time well and serving her well. And I thought, I need to win. And so she tries this thing of, okay, well, I'll give you a Monopoly for a Monopoly. That's a fair trade, right? But what's my response? My response is, well, I got all the railroads. I can wait you out. And so that was a big blunder. So I wound up getting two Monopolies for one Monopoly and some cash. And then immediately as soon as I get it, I wait till she's coming around the corner, and I just build hotels on everything, all right? So there's hotels everywhere, and then she gets knocked out, and she's just like looking at me, and I'm like, I am so sorry. Can we go back? I really messed this up, and I totally blew it. But isn't that just like our lives sometimes with the Lord? We want to please him. We want to love him with all of our heart. We want to love him with all of our mind. We want to love him with all of our soul, with all of our strength. But sometimes we get distracted, don't we? Sometimes we experience other things, and even though we came in with good intentions, we came in to do the right thing, we wanted to serve and love God well. We wanted to make it all about him, just like I wanted to make that date night all about her. And what happened? I got distracted, and I blew it. I totally blew it. And luckily, she still married me, all right? And luckily, God still loves us. But we want to avoid those distractions and love God well. And I would ask you, what are some of those distractions that keep you from loving God with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind, all of your strength? Maybe it's work. Work's so busy lately that I can't get away. I can't find my way to have a quiet time. Or I don't have time for church this morning. I can't wake up early enough to go to Sunday school. Or maybe for a student or a college student. Maybe it's school. I have so much school. I have exams this week. No, I don't have time to read my Bible. I need to be reading my textbooks. I'm sorry, God, I love you, but I'll see you next week. That's not loving him with all your strength. That's not loving with all of your mind. Or maybe it's something else. Maybe you're under such high financial burdens that, man, God, I have this mortgage and I have these other things to do. I can't give to God. I can't do that right now. Maybe later. I'll give to him later, but not right now at this very moment. And we get distracted and we see other things. And so if you would, please join me today in Mark chapter 12. There's a pew Bible in front of you. If you look, it's a red pew Bible. It says New American Standard Bible. And if you would flip to page 38, not in the beginning, but in the New Testament. So it's about three quarters of the way through. And as you're flipping there, as you're finding your Bibles, I encourage you to do so. I want to give you a little bit of a context for what Jesus is talking about when he gives this great commandment. And what had been happening is he's responding to the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and some other people that were also questioning Jesus. And they weren't questioning him desperate for answers that he might lead them. He was trying to trap them, right? He was trying to trick them. They were trying to get Jesus to say something that's going to get them killed or that's going to get them exiled. And that's what they're aiming for here. And so they're asking him, okay, Jesus, if you're so wise, they're thinking, I know a good guy that could kill him, Caesar. Okay, so Jesus, do you pay your taxes? Right? And so they're trying to trick him. And he says, well, give to Caesar's what is Caesar's. You see his face on the coin, and give to God what is God's. So he answers them, and he dodges that bullet. And then the Sadducees are asking him questions. Well, how can the resurrection be true? And they give him this crazy scenario, and he just calls them fools. He just says, what you're asking is completely ridiculous. Of course there's resurrection. God is not the God of the dead. He's God of the living, right? He's the God of life. And then he finally gets into another scribe. He hears all the commotion. He hears what's going on. And that's where we find ourselves today in the text. So it's Mark chapter 12, verse 28. Let us read. One of the scribes came and heard from them arguing, and recognizing that he had answered them well, he asked Jesus. He asked him, what commandment is the foremost of all? Jesus, what commandment is the greatest of all? And so Jesus quickly answers him. He says this, the foremost, the greatest commandment is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one, one God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Verse 30, and you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength. And the second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. The scribe said to him, right, teacher, you have truly stated that he is one, God is one, and there is no one else beside him. And to love him, that's God, with all of your heart, with all of your understanding, and with all of your strength, and to love one's neighbor as himself is much more than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. Let's pray. Lord God, as we've read this text, Lord, I pray that I would decrease and that, Lord, your text and your word would increase. God, I pray that you would minister to the hearts that are in this room, and Lord, I pray that you would minister even to my own heart as well. God, we pray all these things in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen. So guys, as we're going through the text, I want you to see something. Raise your hand if growing up, the idea of, like, this is called the great commandment, the idea of a commandment has sometimes a negative connotation to you. Like, oh, a command. Does anyone feel this way? Am I the only one? Or I'm like, oh man, I got to obey that. That's going to be tough. Rules, 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 right? Sometimes we feel this way. But the truth is, God puts rules in place to protect us, to help us flourish, to help us grow, to help us become more like Christ. I'll give you guys an illustration. Has anyone here ever flown a kite? Anybody flown a kite before? All right, they're going out of style, but we still have some. All right, when you fly a kite, the interesting thing is, when the kite gets to its absolute maximum, it's as high as it's going to go. The string is all unraveled. It's all the way it can go. You think, I want my kite to go higher. So if I cut it, it'll go higher, right? No. If the kite loses its grounding, guess what it does? Crashes to the ground. It crashes to the ground. And guys, the Lord gives us commandments like the great commandment to love the Lord your God with all of your being to help us flourish, to help us grow, that we might become more like him. And what I want to encourage you guys to do this morning is to recognize that this great commandment, it's going to set you free. It's going to help you flourish. It's going to bring joy and love and the fruit of the Spirit into your life. So what is the text saying? If you're someone that is taking notes, I think we're going to have the notes up there on the board. I know there's not an outline in your bulletin, but if you would like to take notes, there are pens in front of you, and you can maybe even use that little tithe envelope. It's blank on the back. You can use that to write on. I encourage people to take notes. And so here's the first point. Love the Lord with all, if you're taking notes. Love the Lord with all, with everything, all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind, all of your strength. Love him with all. What is this text saying? Give everything to God. Everything that you are, give unto him. And so this past weekend, we've already covered heart, we've already covered mind, we've already covered strength, and today we're going to be focusing on the soul, all right? And we did that on purpose for you guys because truly, the soul is kind of the center of it all, all right? The center is what pours over into the heart, and the soul is what pours over into the mind, and the soul is what gives the strength or the will into your body. So really, the soul bone is connected to the heart bone and the mind bone and the strength bone, all right? So we're going to focus on the soul today. In fact, if you were to, I'm sure you're Floridians, so you're familiar with weeds, correct? All right? Well, if you want the weed to go away, where do you pull it out from? The root, all right? The soul is kind of the root of the great commandment. It's the main thing. If you take it out, then you kill it, all right? If you pour into it, then you grow it. And guys, we want to be a church here that grows like weeds in the community. We want to grow like weeds by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so what I want you to see is, as we go through this, the next point, if you are filling out those notes, is to love the Lord with all, and then God saves your soul. So we're going to go into the soul. What does it mean to have a faithful soul? What does it mean to have a soul that is inclined towards the Lord? Well, the first thing is that God needs to save your soul. Your soul needs Jesus. All right, your soul needs redemption. Your soul needs to be changed, because we are fallen. We are unrighteous. No, there is no one perfect, not even one. And the wages of sin, the wages of how we are with our sin, is death. But through Christ Jesus, there is eternal life. Your soul needs Jesus. Here's what the Lord says in Matthew 10:28. These are the words of Jesus, not mine. He says this: do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Do not fear those who can kill the body but not kill the soul. And then he goes on to say this: rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Fear him who can kill both soul and body in hell. Guys, our souls need to be right before the Lord. Jesus is the only one that can do it. No one else can save your soul. No amount of Bible study, no amount of church attendance, no amount of good deeds, no amount of money, no amount of fill in the blank for whatever you want. Nothing can save your soul other than Jesus. Billy Graham, y'all have heard of him, right? Does anyone know what Bible verse, of all the Bible verses, he put on his tombstone? Anybody know? Nobody? All right. It's this. It's John 14:6. Where Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. No one comes to the Father but through Jesus. No one's soul escapes eternal separation from God but through Jesus. Your soul absolutely must have Jesus. But see, sometimes we forget about that. We don't pay as much attention to our soul. Have you ever seen it? Yeah, of course. Yeah, maybe, probably not, right? So we tend to neglect it. I'll give you guys an example. My wife and I, we are going to Hawaii this year, and it is going to be awesome. I've never been there, but we're going to have a great time. We're going on a vacation. We're going to go for a couple days. She found some unbelievable flight prices, and so we're going to go there. And so guess what she said for the both of us? We got to go on a what? Diet. We got to go on a diet because this shirt's going to have to come off, all right? So I'm going to be exposed, all right? And I love my wife very much, which is why I have these handles here, all right? So she can hold on to me. But the handles are not popular in Hawaii, all right? So I need to be losing these things. They got to go. But the truth is, I don't really care about my handles, all right? Whatever. This is me. This is how I am. This is how it's going to be, all right? But they're going to be exposed and probably burnt, all right? But first, they're going to be exposed. And as they're getting exposed, I'm thinking, okay, well, I got to do something about this. Well, friends, keep in mind, God knows your soul. God knows its condition. God knows its health. God knows where you're at with your soul. Are you keeping account of it? Are you watching over it diligently? Are you nourishing it? Are you feeding it? Are you growing? Does your soul have Jesus first and foremost? And then the second thing is, is your soul being renewed by the Holy Spirit? And that's the third point if you're putting it up there. God renews your soul. Not only does God save your soul, but God renews your soul. We covered this a bit last night, but I'll give you kind of a different angle, students, and everyone else, you're getting some new stuff. Here's what it says in verse 33 of the passage we're in. Remember the scribe's response to Jesus. He says, Jesus, you're absolutely right. You know, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. And then he says this, everything you said is much more than burnt offerings and sacrifices. It's much more than burnt offerings and sacrifices. What we talked about last night is that God doesn't just want your behavior. He doesn't just want your money. He doesn't just want your time. He doesn't just want your whatever. He doesn't just want those things. He wants you. He wants you. Guys, and anyone who does Valentine's Day for your wife, right, where you maybe get them flowers, you love them, you take them out to a date, whatever it is you do, depending on how romantic you are, all right? If you were to just give her flowers and say, hey, I'm going fishing with the boys, but I'll let you flowers and chocolate on the counter. How's it going? Yeah, not so good, right? Because she doesn't want your flowers and chocolate. She wants you. She wants you. God wants you. He wants you first. And then because you give her yourself, because you give God yourself, all the other things tend to follow with it. The chocolates and the dating and all the lovey-dovey, mushy-gushy stuff, all right? They all follow. And guys, the same thing goes for us with Jesus. When we give him all of our soul, all of our mind, all of our strength, these other things, these behaviors, they follow. Their affections for Christ, their ways of us expressing to him, we love you. I want to read you how God feels about just behavior separated from the soul, separated from the heart, separated from the mind, separated from the intention. I want to tell you how God feels about leaving the chocolates and the flowers on the counter, all right? Here's how he feels about it. This is what it says in Isaiah 1, verses 11 to 14. God says this, "What to me is the multitude of your sacrifices?" Sound like a familiar word, right? "What to me is the multitude of your sacrifices?" says the Lord. "I've had enough of your burnt offerings." I've had enough of them. In fact, he goes on to say, I don't delight in it. I don't delight in your sacrifices. I don't delight in your offerings. He says, when you come to appear before me, who is required of you the trampling of my courts? You just come here just out of an act of obedience, but not out of love. You're trampling over my courts. And he goes on to say this. He says, bring no more vain offerings. Bring no more meaningless offerings. If the guy were to leave the chocolates and the flowers on the counter, that is a vain offering. Not going to do you any good. It's not going to do her any good because you're not there. No more vain offerings. And he goes on to say this, new moon and Sabbath and the calling of convocations, I cannot endure iniquity and solemn assembly. And he says, your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul, God says, hates. When you just come on Easter and you just come on Christmas and then, hey, I'll see you when I see you. He says, my soul hates. Behavior separated from yourself, God hates. He abhors. He doesn't love it. You might fool everybody else, but you're not fooling God. You're not fooling God. So my question for you is your soul right with God? Are your actions, are they done out of behavior modification and social acceptance? Or are they done out of allegiance and love for God? Because that's where they need to come from. That's where the soul pours out from. They need to come for love and adoration of God. And he says this of the soul. He talks about how it's eternal. And through the internal, it will become external, right? Through the fruit of the Spirit, it's the fruit of the Spirit, right? It's not your deeds. It's what God bears in you. When God changes your heart, you begin to bear fruit. When you change on the inside, it begins to change on the outside, of course, right? What does it say in Mark 7? It's not what goes into a man that defiles him, but it's what? Anybody know? Comes out. It's what comes out. It's not what goes in. It's what comes out that defiles us, right? And so too, guys, when you have the Holy Spirit in your heart, what comes out? Spirit. What comes out? Love. What comes out? Joy. What comes out? Peace, joy, kindness, mercy, goodness, self-control, faithfulness. The fruit of the Spirit comes out. It comes from you when your heart is constantly being renewed. And it's renewed by proximity to God. It's renewed by proximity to God. How do we renew our souls? You get closer to God. You seek him out. You chase after him. The pastor at my church, he's a dear friend of mine now. He's no boss. He's my pastor, and I love him very much. And he pours into me constantly. He gave this illustration. I just thought it was so excellent. He shares this. I talked to him, how do you deal with the things of the flesh? We're talking about Romans 7, where the Apostle Paul says, the things I want to do, I don't do. And the things I don't want to do, I find myself doing them. This is difficult living in the flesh. This is difficult living for Christ. I'm not always successful. I constantly fall. And my pastor said, well, there's nothing you can do about that. That's going to happen. It happened to the Apostle Paul. It's going to happen to you too. But I said, well, how do I improve? And he said, well, it's kind of like feeding two different dogs, all right? And this is what he said. When you feed the flesh dog, when you feed the flesh, you crave more flesh. You crave more sinful things. You crave more things that are not of God. And then he says, but the other dog, for example, if you feed it spirit, if you're feeding your soul spirit, if you're feeding it the things of God, then guess what your soul craves? More things of God. So he talks about if you want to grow, if you want your soul to be renewed, if you want to know God on a closer and deeper basis, feed the spirit that God's given you. If you have the Holy Spirit inside of you, if you've received Jesus as your Savior, feed your soul. Feed him with reading scripture. Feed him with fellowshipping with the body of Christ. Feed them through your act of worship when we have a band up here and we can just sing to them. Feed them through doing your work excellently, right? Before the fall, there was work in the garden and it was good, all right? There's so many different ways that we can love and we can seek out the Lord and we can feed the Spirit that's inside of us. And as you feed the Spirit grows in you and you're more and more filled with the Spirit and you have a larger and greater and more insatiable appetite for the things of God. So what is your appetite level? Where are you? Where is your heart? You're the only one that knows. You know where your appetite is. But do you have an appetite for the things of God? And if you don't, change it. Ask God to change your heart. You can't do it on your own. You need him. He needs to do it in you. But make a commitment and say, I will follow you. After all, that's what the whole Christian life is about, right? Following God. That leads us to our final point. God saves the soul. God renews the soul. And the third point is this, God rests the soul. God rests the soul. And I don't just mean passing away. There's other meanings to resting the soul. God rests the soul. Let's see what he says in Matthew 11, verses 28 to 29. Here's what Jesus says. He says, come to me. That's first and foremost. It's an invitation. Jesus says, you want to have a rested soul? You want to have a renewed soul? You come to me. You come to me and I'll give you rest. You come to me and I'll take away your burdens. You come to me. That's first and foremost. That's everything. Come to me is what Jesus says. And who is he inviting? He's inviting the weary and he's inviting the heavy laden. And he says, I will give them rest. And why were they heavy laden? Why were they so burdened? Why were they so in such difficulty? Well, the reason for it is he was speaking to people that were under, right, the rule of the Pharisees. And they were saying, you got to follow this rule and you got to follow that rule. Oh, and we have about 600 rules for how to keep the Sabbath. And you got to follow all the Torah and you got to do all these things. And the people were burdened. I got to follow all these rules. Just think about the scribe's question. Oh, hey, Jesus, of all the rules, of all the commandments, of all the things, what's the most important one? They're trying to like get these right because, man, we got a lot of stuff to follow here. They were burdened and they were heavy laden with all these rules. And what does God say to him? He says, no, just follow me. Just love the Lord your God. And he says in Matthew 11, I will give you rest. I will give you rest. Because the truth is, everybody, if you're someone that maybe you feel convicted, maybe you feel like you've fallen into behavior modification instead of truly loving God, it is exhausting, behavior modification. Trying to pretend to be someone you're not. Trying to change all these little rules and all these little things in your life and be the perfect little cookie cutter Christian, but not have love for God, oh, I pity you. But it can be changed. The Holy Spirit can change you. The Holy Spirit can take away that heavy burden of trying to be this perfect person all on your own, and he'll give you the Holy Spirit, and he'll renew your heart. And the burden won't fall on you, but it falls on him. And he's the one that changes you. And all you have to do is respond. Yes, I'll follow you, Jesus. Yes, I'll love you. And then everything else gets right from there. Remember, the soul is the root. Ask God to make your soul right, and everything else follows from it. And he says, take my yoke, and my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. He says, I have one great commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Love me. That's all he says. That's the main thing. And then he says, the second is like it. Love others as yourself, which is an outpouring of the first commandment. And these two are the greatest. Love God, love others. It's really that simple. That's all this passage is saying. And I find this so profound. I want to share this with you. Has anyone here heard of John Piper? Raise your hand if you've heard of that guy. Yeah, he's like Christian Yoda. He's awesome. I love this guy. And he wrote a book called Desiring God. If you've never read it, you should check it out. It's a wonderful book, all right? And in the book, in the very first chapter, he kind of changes something. He doesn't change the Bible. John Piper doesn't do that. But he changes something from the Westminster Confessional. And what he changes is, it says the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. And he changes it just a little bit. He edits it and he says this. No, the chief end of man is to glorify God by enjoying him forever. Not and enjoying him, by enjoying him. God gets all the glory when we enjoy him. God gets all the glory when we have the joy of saying, take all my burdens, take all my cares, take all my difficulties, and Lord, just change me. I just want to follow you. I just want to chase after you. Lord, I give you my soul so I can rest. And Lord, you change me. You transform me. God, you renew me by your grace, by your mercy, by your love. And he faithfully does so. And so I want to ask you this. We're coming to a close here in just a few minutes. But I want to encourage you. Don't be the person that comes to church on Sunday morning and then you leave and you forgot everything that was taught. You forgot everything that happened in Sunday school. You forgot everything that happened in worship. But rather take it and apply it. You know, because I see a lot of people that they say, well, I want a gym fit body. And so they buy like some exercise equipment and then they never use it. Because they like the idea of being fit, but I'm going to get sweaty. I don't like being sweaty, all right? I don't know if I want that. Or maybe the student that gets a study group together because I'm not going to procrastinate this time. And then the kids get together and then you just talk the whole time, right? And then you wind up not getting anything done. Because you like the idea of not procrastinating, but when it comes down to it, sometimes you go ahead and procrastinate anyways because you get distracted, right? You want something else. Another way to look at it is this. I'm a Publix shopper, all right? The shopping is a pleasure there. I love me some Publix. But when I go to Publix, I don't buy food I'm not going to eat. I don't buy food I'm not going to eat. What would it be like? How crazy would you say I was if I went to Publix and I filled up my shopping cart and I filled up my fridge and then I did it right before we were going to Hawaii and I get back and all my food is bad? Would you call me a fool? I would. I'd call me a fool. That's a new fool, right? That's extra dumb. Well, guys, do you come here on Sunday morning and not apply God's word to your life? Do you come here just to hear and then go? No, guys, God has a plan for this hour. God has a plan for the hour before. In fact, God has a plan for every hour of your life. Guys, apply the great commandment to your life. Take a moment when you get home with your spouse, by yourself, whatever it might be, and just ask God, what is the condition of my soul? What is my appetite for the things of you? You can say a very simple prayer to God. I found out the simplest prayers are the best ones. God, will you care for my soul? God, will you increase my appetite for your spirit? You think God doesn't want to answer that prayer? Guarantee you he does. Lord, will you do this for my life? I want to encourage you to take this home with you. Final point is this. Love your neighbor as yourself. So if you're someone taking notes, love your neighbor as yourself. And the reason I put this one last is, one, it comes last in the text. But number two, it's interesting because Jesus didn't need to say that, right? What was the scribe's question? What's the greatest commandment, right? He wasn't asking, hey, Jesus, give me a top two. He didn't say that. He says the second is this. Or in Matthew, he says, and this other one is like it, all right? And he says, love your neighbor as yourself. He offered it up. He didn't have to, but he did. And so what I want to ask is, will you go above and beyond this week to love your neighbor as yourself? Will you go above and beyond this week and ask God to care for your soul and then maybe even ask him that just maybe he could fill up the broken vessel of a heart that we all have and renew us that we might spill over onto another? That we might go above and beyond. That we might be able to share the love of Christ with another individual by action, by deed, by truth, by word. Are you willing to do that? And last but not least, I would be remiss if I didn't do this. But I want to invite you, if there is anyone here today that you've never placed your faith and your trust in Christ as your Savior, I will not lie to you, you are on the path of the wrath of God. That's where your soul is. Your soul's in danger if you have not placed your faith and your trust in Him. And we had Arden baptized earlier. She did that as an outward expression of what Christ did in her life. Those waters don't save her, right? The commitment she made in her heart to Christ, Jesus' work on the cross, that's what saves her. Not her work, Jesus' work. That's what saves her. And friends, it can be the same for you. If you're someone that has never placed your faith and your trust in Christ, it says in Romans that if you would commit your heart to Him, and if you would confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, that you'll be saved. If you will take a moment and just receive Him as your Lord, that means no longer are you the king of your life, but you're saying, Jesus, I want you to be king. I want you to sit on the throne of my life. I want the ransom that you've given, I want you to be the leader. I want you to be my Lord. If that's the cry of your heart today, I would invite you. I don't usually do invitations from the front, but I would invite you to talk to one of the pastors that's here at this church today. Or you can go to the welcome desk, or you can come up front. There'll be people around. You can find Ryan. You guys have seen him. But go to them and say, Ryan, I'm worried about my soul. I want to be saved. What do I have to do that? Or maybe you want to go to Pastor John. He's right over there in the suspenders, right? He's right there. And there was another pastor. I don't know his name. And I think your name is Grayson, all right? Maybe you're someone. Is that Grayson? Jason. Jason, hey, you're the one that gave me the GoPro van. All right. But seriously, if you're someone that you have not had a renewed soul, if you have not received Christ as your Savior, this whole message is useless for you unless you receive Christ today as your Lord and Savior. Let's pray. Lord God, if there is anyone here today that has never received Jesus as their Lord and Savior, God, I pray that they would do so. God, I pray that they would place their faith and their trust in you. And God, they would recognize that it's not what they do that saves them, but rather it's what Christ did on the cross. It's His atoning work that saves, not our own. And Lord, we, no matter where we are, we can come to you. Lord, no matter how sinful or no matter what we've been through, God, you will receive us and you will save our souls. So Lord, if there is anyone like that today, God, I pray that they would find one of the pastors at this church. They would come up front at the end of the service that we might be able to minister to them and tell them about your grace and your mercy and your love. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.